Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America on Monday, April 7th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gandhi.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A new government report paints a gloomy picture of the country's economy as deflation continues and revenue collection targets are missed.
The deflation that the minister is speaking about will come from the continuing competition between the traders. The goods to sell are struggling to find customers.
Divisions continue to rock the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, despite his pronouncements recently that all was well in the Labour-backed party.
These were very junior people in the party, very, very junior people, and they cannot seek to undermine what is so sacred in the MDC, the unity of purpose of all the progressive forces.
And the Harare Residents Trust compiles a dossier of issues currently affecting the city's residents for presentation to Parliament Wednesday.
A new report by the Finance Ministry is forecasting a dire economic outlook for the country this year as deflation is expected to continue. The monthly report titled Treasury State of the Economy says that the deflationary pressures experienced during February will continue to affect the economy in 2014 due to an extending negative output gap. Year-on-year inflation declined from 0.41% recorded in January 2014 to -0.49% in February. In another round of bad news for the economy, the Treasury report says the government missed its revenue collection target. Revenue collections during the month of February 2014 amounted to $248 million against a target of $273.36 million, resulting in a negative variance of $25.3 million. The report says 58% of the revenue was gobbled by salaries. Many companies are also said to be closing shop, with the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange being affected by dwindling foreign investor participation. Independent economic consultant John Robertson tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the government is losing the inflation war.
The deflation that the minister is speaking about will come from the continuing competition between the traders. The goods to sell are struggling to find customers and very fearful of trying to recover in full their costs of operating. So they are keeping prices as low as they can to attract customers when there are very few customers out there. But the real problem here has been the delays that government has inflicted upon the buying population. Because the government employs around about 35% of the people in the formal sector, so when 35% of the total buying population gets paid late, they can only go shopping late. And normally the wages are staggered through the second half of the month. So some people will be paid on about the 16th and some people will be paid on about the 20th and more people will be paid on the 25th. And I think everybody had to wait till the very end of March to be paid. So the shops didn't get the customers that they were hoping for. And when you have to make do with what little you've got, you don't always go and buy what you would have bought when you go shopping after you get paid at the beginning of April. So the reduced level of consumption was very much a symptom of the shortage of money, the shortage of tax revenue, which affected the government's ability to pay the wages on time.
But are there any short-term measures that government can implement to try and address this problem?
Unfortunately, the problem that they've created is a very deeply seated problem, and it's really hard to fix those kinds of problems quickly. The problem is that we are discouraging investors. When investors do come to a country, they start to invest, and you can imagine investment this year might bring about results next year.
That was independent economic consultant John Robertson speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Divisions continue to rock the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai despite his pronouncements recently that all is well in the Labour-backed party. Simmering divisions came to the fore with the so-called Renewal faction calling on Tsvangirai to step down and pave way for a new leader in time for the country's next elections expected in 2018. Some of the party members in the Renewal faction convened a press conference at the weekend, rubbishing assertions by Tsvangirai that there was unity in the party. But just like what happened with former Finance Minister Simba Makoni when he left ZANU-PF, no big party guns were present at the MDCT Renewal Group's press conference, where they continued to press for changes in the party.
A party spokesman Douglas Munzora says disciplinary action will be taken against Youth Secretary Promise Mkwananzi, National Executive Member Last Mayinga Hama, lawyer Jacob Mafume, and Director General Twende Pishone for convening what he said was an illegal press conference that undermined the party's constitution. Mafume, who is suspended Deputy Treasurer General Elton Mangoma's lawyer, was also unveiled as the Renewal Team's interim spokesman. The four on Saturday maintained that, contrary to Tsvangirai's claims that the factions in the party have buried the hatchet, there was no unity at all in the Labour-backed movement. They said things have not been the same in the party since Mangoma's suspension that followed his letter to Tsvangirai asking him to step down. Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Monzora over the issue.
These were very junior people in the party, very, very junior people in the party. And they cannot seek to undermine what is so sacred in the MDC, the unity of purpose of all the progressive forces. Our leaders held the press conference about 2 weeks ago and announced to the party members and to the country that they were working together, that there was party unity, and that there was supposed to be party unity. But you do get some malcontents, especially the naughty ones, who just want to make headlines by doing things which are negative to the party. There was absolutely no need for that press conference. There was absolutely no need for some people to try to undermine what the party has been trying to build for a long, long time. The MDC is the only change agent in Zimbabwe. The people of Zimbabwe are suffering. And therefore, they look at the MDC seriously as a party that can deliver them from poverty and misery. But this playing with the people's struggle is unpardonable. And this is done by people who may or may not know that it is CIO and ZANU-PF who are behind these squabbles. And people can get used by CIO and ZANU-PF without knowing it. And we really appeal to the MDC supporters not to be hoodwinked by these shenanigans. The task at hand is very, very big. President Tsvangirai announced that there must be unity in the party. He announced that there must be unity of purpose of all progressive forces so that we get rid of the dictatorship.
What are you going to do? Are you going to take any action against them?
Well, from the way they behaved, I don't think they really want to be members of the MDC anymore. I don't know. But our National Council is sitting this week, and we will just inform them that this is what happened, and we see what will be done. But it is regrettable that people behave so irresponsibly, especially where some of them are actually representing Honorable Mangoma, who is going to be appearing before the disciplinary committee.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Munzora on the line from Harare.
Mkwananzi says the Renewal faction wants the MDCT to be guided by the principles of the 2011 Congress in its activities.
The idea was to explain to the public that we still had what I would call, for lack of a better word, outstanding issues which needed to be ironed out before we can have a proper, genuine unity. And those issues have to do with the need to convene an honest and exhaustive national executive meeting that will discuss and iron out through an honest self-introspection the various outstanding issues, which include the continued use of violence and hate speech within the party, the complete breakdown of constitutionalism, the unlawful suspension, the expulsion,
of members of the party, as well as the need to draw a clear roadmap towards a free and fair election where there is no pledging, because the pledging essentially amounts to tampering with the Congress voter roll, and nobody is prepared to go to a predetermined Congress. We want the party to return back to its original structure as constituted in the 2011 Congress, and then we can go to Congress, because those structures are the people that are supposed to attend the Congress.
Mr. Monzora said the party is not going to lose sleep because the meeting was convened by junior members. What's your reaction to this?
Neither here nor there. In any case, it is not a fact that the junior members, I'm a member of the National Executive myself, Mr. Malinda Ama is a member of the National Executive. And what is important is the import of the message, which is the principles which I have outlined. I think that is what is important for us to look into, rather than the messengers.
In the event that the party decides to take action against you, are you ready to face any consequences?
The problem is that we have a complete breakdown of the constitution of the party at the moment. So many people are doing their own things which are unconstitutional, suspensions which are happening, the expulsions, beatings. So you have to first take the party back to constitutionalism, re-establish law and order, and then only from there can you start to talk about disciplinary issues.
That was MDCT Youth Assembly Secretary Promise Mkwananzi in Harare.
Independent political analyst Charles Mtasa says the MDCT should put its house in order if it wants to give ZANU-PF a strong challenge in the 2018 elections.
This means that those who are convening the press conferences are still disgruntled, and they are not with the MDC as far as the announcement that was made by Mr. Tsvangirai stands. What it ultimately means is that those members will either step out of the party somehow by the way they are convening these press conferences, or the party will have to boot them out eventually.
We spoke with MDC spokesman Mr. Douglas Monzora, who said this press conference or a meeting has little or no impact at all because those who convened the meeting are junior party members. Do you agree with him?
I think what he's trying to imply, in my view, is that their rebellion or their failure to oblige with the resolution that was announced means that even if they don't want to do so, the party will not lose much. So eventually he's saying that it will not be considered as a split, but it might be considered as people who are departing from the party by themselves by failing to oblige with the resolutions of the party. So as you can see, it is very difficult to imagine Mr. Mangoma backing the party as long as he is still speaking the same language as that was being spoken before the announcement of the so-called reunion of the party.
That was independent political analyst Charles Mtasa in Seattle, Washington State, here in the United States.
Meanwhile, Elton Mangoma told Studio 7 in an exclusive interview that time has come for the MDCT to replace Tsvangirai with what he says will be a better leader. Mangoma says Tsvangirai, like President Robert Mugabe, is a dictator.
Any conflict will end at some point. I don't think the conflict goes on forever. Just how it ends, which may be how people react or not react. But
in your own internal feelings, Mr. Mangoma, do you think you are right with what you are doing?
I am convinced 100% that I am right. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't have written the letter. And it's really, I believe it 100%.
So now, when we look at opposition parties in Zimbabwe, do you think that they will come together at one stage to form some kind of formidable coalition to fight against the present government?
I think the culture we have had is one of the strong men politics. So you would have this one and this party, this one and their party, and so on and so on. And therefore, it makes collaboration a bit more difficult because people are looking after their own parties as opposed to the national interest.
And many people are saying Mr. Mangoma is one person who is very courageous because he can actually tell leaders to go to hell and ruffle anyone's feathers. At the end of the day, if you get to make a comparative analysis, let's say compare President Robert Mugabe and President Tsvangirai of the MDC, who do you think is better between the two?
None of them. They all have got this strong man mentality. They all are not listening to advice. They are all not looking to build in a Zimbabwe that can be lived by all.
So in a way, this is my last question. In a way, you're saying it is very good to clean up the MTCT right now and get rid of these leaders that are useless.
In fact, if there was any better time to clean up the MTCT, it is now.
And finally, you see yourself as a better leader than President Mugabe and Tsvangirai?
At this stage, definitely. Having worked with them, I have no hesitation whatsoever to say that I'll be able to provide better leadership and better vision than I have seen today.
That was suspended MDCT Deputy Treasurer General Elton Mangoma speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
On the other hand, the MDC Ncube Party says it has been re-energized following the reshuffle of its top leadership posts yesterday, where positions left vacant by members who resigned or defected to other political parties were filled. Defectors include Siyabonga Malandu Ncube, who was the party's water and energy secretary, and Edward Mkosi, who was secretary for lands and agriculture. Kabuto Dube replaced Malandu Ncube, while Angula Gwabada now holds Mkosi's post. The party's deputy spokesman, Rawone Chiwaye, replaced Sondon Mugaradziko, the former director of international relations and external structures, who resigned. Chiwaye's post went to party member Sibongile Ngijima. The party's former education secretary, Sam Mlelo, replaced Kubani Moyo, director of policy and research and coordination, who also resigned last year. Mlelo's post went to Mary Manyenje, and she is deputized by Henry Chimbiri. Party spokesman Nhlanhla Dube tells Bota Standekile Mhlanga, his party is more prepared than ever to challenge ZANU-PF, whose election victory has led to the further deterioration of the economy.
It was driven by what we had heard from the people. We are now moving from the strategy of strategic silence to when we were listening and people were speaking, to that of strategic visibility and communication.
Does this mean that your party is now raring to go and your party leader, Wetchman Ncube, will be heard and seen more often, or will this be followed by another long silence?
The strategy was to be silent and open our ears. Now it's strategic visibility and communication. Certainly the highest office in the party, that of the presidency, will be speaking on a more regular basis, will be visible on a more regular basis. We have started literally switched on the lines, and we are not switching them off, and it's now a little continuer, if you like.
What new measures have you put in place to curb further defections from your party and ensure that your party members are satisfied with the way your party is run?
Really worry a political party. For instance, you don't see the problem in our party that you see in MDCT, that you are seeing in ZANU-PF, which are littered by factionalism. MDCT, where their president is telling people that are in the leadership that if they want change in the leadership, they should go and form their own party. We are not seeing that with us. It's quite unfortunate that in our state we are so attractive for communication that if you have four people resigning in a year, it is a catastrophe. It is not. It is a natural process. What we have done is that we have come up with a value proposition which is going to be a benchmark, which is going to be the hallmark of our communication. You are going to start seeing and feeling us. So the difference is, before, we believe and we still do that ideas matter. But possibly our communication style and system emphasized that it maybe did not speak to the heart, it spoke to the brain. And people vote with their hearts probably more than they vote with their brain.
That was MDCN spokesman Nhlanhla Dube on the line from Bulawayo.
President Robert Mugabe has fired a broadside at the two factions in his party said to be gunning to take over from him when he leaves office. Mr. Mugabe reiterated his previous statements that it is not certain that his deputy Joyce Mujuru and her fiercest rival Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa will succeed him. He said ZANU-PF members and supporters will choose their new leader. Mr. Mugabe made the remarks while addressing his Gushungo clansmen in his Zwimba rural home. The battle to succeed the 90-year-old leader has intensified in ZANU-PF, resulting in clashes in Manicaland and Maswingo provinces, allegedly pitting backers of Mujuru and Mnangagwa against each other.
Efforts to get a comment from the two were, however, futile as their mobile phones went unanswered. The two have previously furiously denied reports linking them to the warring factions in the party. Mr. Mugabe said the two were not his only automatic replacements, as there are some individuals in the party who are also capable of leading the liberation movement. He said he will not be retiring anytime soon, as he still has some unfinished business to attend to. Political analyst Ernest Mudzengi, director of the Media Center, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the remarks are vintage Mugabe tactics to cling on to power.
The point is the fact that President Mugabe is in power and he still wants to be in power. He probably wants to be in power, and I think these issues of succession is the best. Actually miss him. He is not yet with the so-called succession debate, which among other things has caused divisions within his party.
But do such remarks help in ensuring that the issue of his succession is not discussed?
People continue talking about succession, especially when they look at the president's age. They will definitely continue talking about it, but President Mugabe is determined to make sure that the debate does not continue in the manner that it has been proceeding. So these remarks are to ensure that we don't have too much of that debate, and they are to deflect pressure that has been coming from focusing on Mnangagwa and Mujuru as the virtual successor.
What does this tell us about ZANU-PF?
What it tells us about the party is that the party is a party whose history and the contemporary situation is enmeshed in succession struggles. It's a party that seems to be founded across the factional lines. When you look at this, you can actually read it from the time that the party was formed to the present day. There was never a time when the party was exactly free of this kind of debate and the conde relating to succession.
That was political analyst Ernest Mudzengi, director of the Media Center, on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
The Harare Residents Trust says it is compiling a dossier of issues currently affecting the city's residents for presentation to the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Local Government Affairs on Wednesday. Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says the committee invited his organization and others to make presentations on residents' concerns and other related issues as they seek improved service provision by the Harare City Council. Shumba tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye one of the most pressing issues for many in Harare is the provision of clean drinking water by the local authority.
It's the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Local Government that will sit to hear submissions from residents, organizations, and individual residents concerned with the state of service delivery in Harare. What it means is that the Harare Residents Trust, as a stakeholder, will make a case for the harmonization of local government legislation, will make a case for the handling of the huge salaries being given to senior council managers, including the town clerk, will make a point to highlight the plight of citizens in terms of access to water, the progressive realization of the right to water, the right to health, is being compromised due to shortages and deliberate manipulation of the system by officials. So we will make a point that we highlight these issues before the committee, and our hope is that the committee will produce a report which will inform government policy on local authorities, and in particular the city of Harare, which happens to be the capital city of Zimbabwe.
What's the importance of having such interaction with Parliament, especially for you as a residents organization?
Citizens' participation is critical in any functional democracy. The participation of citizens to get a platform where they raise their issues on service delivery highlights the plight of citizens, highlights their aspirations, and by being provided with such a platform, the residents are expecting that the authorities will listen. The House of Parliament is a place where our elected representatives meet and deliberate, debate legislation, laws of a country. So it provides us with an opportunity to convey the grievances of communities.
That was Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Harare.
Hello, soccer lovers, and as promised, here are the results of the soccer matches played this weekend, both in the Castle Premier Soccer Laga and the English Premier League, where Arsenal's season is fast unraveling before them. Chris, you know, it was a very bad weekend, especially for me. I'm an Arsenal supporter, I can confirm that. But first, we start with the local results. A total of 19 goals were scored on the first week of the 2014 Castle Premiership season, with Wange becoming the highest scorers on the first day, following their 5-1 drubbing of Buffaloes. There were victories also for defending champions Dynamos, Chicken Inn, Black Rhinos and Shabani Mine. So here are the results. How Mine 0, Dynamos 1. Wange 5, Buffaloes 1. Capes United 1, ZPC Kariba 1. Shabani Mine 3, Triangle 1. Bantu Rovers 0, Black Rhinos 1. Chicken Inn 3, Harare City 0. Chapungu 0, Highlanders 0, and Chiredzi FC 1 and FC Platinum 1.
In the Barclays Premier Soccer League, Liverpool, which last won the Premiership over 20 years ago, is now sitting pretty at the top of the league table with 74 points after Steven Gerrard scored two penalties in a controversial 2-1 win at West Ham that was marred by a dreadful performance from referee Anthony Taylor. Manchester City 4, Southampton 1, Aston Villa 1, Fulham 2, Cardiff 0, Crystal Palace 3, Hull 1, Swansea 0, Newcastle United 0, Man U 4, Norwich City 1, West Brom 1, West Ham 1, Liverpool 2, and Everton 3, Arsenal 0.
And Chelsea is now second on the log table with 72 points, and Manchester City is third with 70 points, but has two games in hand. And Arsenal's humiliation at Everton may prove costly as both teams play for the lucrative fourth position. The Gunners have 64 points, and Everton, which are fifth with a game in hand, have 63 points in the bag. In the La Liga, Barcelona 3, Real Betis 1, Real Sociedad 0, Real Madrid 4. And in the South African PSL, Mpumalanga 1, Wits University 2, SuperSport United 1, Orlando Pirates 0, AmaZulu 2, and Free State Stars 1, Pretoria University 1, and Polokwane City 2, Kaizer Chiefs 0, and Mamelodi Sundowns 1, Bloemfontein 1, and Platinum Stars 0, Maritzburg United 1, and Golden Arrows 0. So stay tuned. We will continue to provide you with the results that you asked us to bring to you. Every Monday, we will be giving you this update. Thank you very much, soccer lovers. And Chris, we are coming to the end of our program. It has been full of politics, but yes, hopefully some soccer lovers have got something to smile about, especially those who are in Zimbabwe, as we know, support Liverpool because of Bruce Grobler law a long time ago.
Yes, Cindy, that's actually my favorite team too.
I'm not your biggest fan these days. I'm, with the Gunners, but we are crying every day. Hopefully next year will be our season as well.
Oh,
but
sure.
Just to remind our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the worsening factionalism in the Tsvangirai MDC.
That's our broadcast for this evening. You can keep tuned into Studio 7's Ndebele Show with yours truly, Chris Gande and Standigile.